Welcome to New Life's online worship service. My name is Mike Vanderquack, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. And on behalf of the elders, leaders, staff, and church members, welcome to this online gathering of Lifting High the Name of Jesus. This is our fourth week of online services, and wow, we sure do miss seeing everybody. It's difficult not to see each other and to support each other and check in with each other. But we trust that in this difficulty, God is at work. He is shaping us and he's using us according to his purposes. Let's trust him in that. Here at New Life, our call is to be disciples of Jesus and to come together in Christ-centered worship like this and to care for each other in tight Christ-centered community and to serve Jesus and pray for others to have an impact for his glory is what we're all about, and to help you take next steps in that. So this morning, let's lift high the name of Jesus, and let's gather together our family and learn and grow together. So welcome to our online worship service.
Oh, Good morning, and welcome to another New Life virtual service. Thank you, worship team, Amy, Sam, and Eric for leading us. Hosanna indeed. Hosanna is the word that we say on Palm Sunday, and that's what we're celebrating today. So in the story recorded in the gospel in John, we're going to get to that in a moment. The people of Jerusalem were anticipating a Messiah, a king, coming into the city. And so they took palm branches because that's what they had a lot of then, palm trees. So they took these branches and they waved them and they shouted Hosanna, just like we sang Hosanna just a moment ago. And so I'm going to read from John chapter 12. And we don't have palm trees here, but we do have this beautiful branch here. And I'm going to wave this as if this was what we had plenty of, celebrating a Messiah coming into our life. So John chapter 12 reads like this, starting at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, and they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples didn't understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had to be done for him. I want to welcome anyone who is new to New Life or is just connecting with New Life for the very first time. I hope you feel like you are at home and there's a community here that celebrates Jesus Christ as Lord. There's lots of other ways to connect with New Life Church as well. We want to point out that we have a website, www.newlifecrc.ca. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And we also have a New Life app that you can download in the Google Play or the Apple Store as well. My name is Pastor Kunrad Bugelink. I'm one of the pastors at New Life Church, and kind of feels great this week. I'm out of quarantine finally. I did some traveling to Nicaragua recently, and it feels good to be a little bit more mobile, still keeping my distance, social distancing. But I've been following along with the virtual services, and it's been great to be together. I have a quick announcement, and that is kids. I'm missing the way that we used to just gather together on Palm Sunday, where you guys would be taking the palm fronds and singing in worship. But this morning, we still want you to feel connected. You're a big part of our community and our church. And so Samantha Visser has provided a kids link that you can click on. It's parents, it's in the description portion of this video. You can click on that link, and there's also a worksheet that you can print out for your kids. So we're going to take a moment right now just to pause the video, and parents with kids, you can get your kids sorted out and set up for that. We now have an opportunity to continue our worship with the giving of our tithe. Even in a difficult time financially, it's important to continue to show our gratitude and our thanksgiving and offer back to God for what he has done for us. And so we've made some adjustments in how we can give our tithe. And so if you go to our website, you'll be able to see the different methods that we have available, whether it's e-transfer or giving through our New Life app. We know that this is a difficult time for some people, and it's difficult to give. And if you are part of the population that has lost your job, or you've been laid off and you have financial needs, we want to hear from you also. We as a community want to function to support you in your time of need as well. So if you have financial needs, we're asking for you to reach out to us as a New Life community. Just reach out to one of the pastors, or you can email the church at office@newlifecrc.ca. We'd love to hear from you. Our offering this morning is going to be taken for New Life Ministries. Regardless of the pandemic, New Life Ministries continue to go on. We've done a pivot, as you can see, with virtual church. but we continue to reach out to our community and bless those around us. And so we want to ask you to give, if you are able to, this morning to that offering. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the ways that you have blessed us. Lord, we know that this is a difficult time for many. So Lord, for those who are struggling financially because of being laid off or having lost their jobs or the economy just being difficult, Lord, we pray that you would provide for those families, those members of our community who are in need financially right now. Lord, sustain them in this time. Lord, we have a number of members who are struggling with health concerns, whether it's related to the pandemic or other health issues. Lord, you came into Jerusalem as a king, as a savior. Lord, you are also a healer. And we ask, Lord, that we would also be able to, as a community, cry Hosanna because of your power over sickness. And so, Lord, we ask for healing for members of our community who are sick right now and struggling. Lord, we thank you that you have given us gifts to steward. Thank you, Lord, that we can give back to you because of your goodness and your abundance that overflows to us. So Lord, I pray that you would just multiply this offering this morning, that it would be a blessing to ministries, and that those ministries, Lord, would be a blessing outside of these church walls and into this community. Lord, you are so good. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. In your name we pray, and everybody together said, amen. All right. Now we're going to join Pastor Nathan as he brings the Word of God this morning.
Well, good morning. Here we are again, and welcome again to a New Life Church online service. We're in a series of messages called The Transforming Friendship. And we're looking at ways, spiritual disciplines, they're called, ways that shape and nurture our relationship with God. I'm glad that we're in this series, in this particular time, because perhaps now more than any other time, we're realizing that to get through a crisis such as we are in, we depend on our faith so much more. And we depend on our faith being strong and sustaining us. So today, we're going to take a look at the spiritual discipline of prayer, which is probably one of the most basic of Christian practices. And it's something that every Christian needs in their discipleship journey. So I want us to reflect on prayer using Luke chapter 11. A passage from Luke chapter 11. The last 2 weeks we've been in Luke chapter 10, first to talk about the discipline of serving with the story of the Good Samaritan. And then following that, the discipline of solitude and service and Sabbath, solitude and silence and Sabbath, with the story of Mary and Magdalene. And now this story. We're reading from Luke chapter 11. You might want to hit pause, grab your Bible, and follow along, and the words should also be on the screen. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 through verse 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I've no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of his shamelessness, He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I think it's really cool and probably intentional, in fact, that Jesus has just said at the end of chapter 10 in the story of Mary and Martha, he said to Martha, Mary has chosen the better way. And then, as if to suggest that this is the better way, immediately after, a disciple says, Jesus, teach us to pray. What strikes me is that we have to learn to pray. Now, I think a popular misconception, perhaps, about prayer is that prayer is just about pouring out your heart to God, which it can be, I suppose. But here's the problem. The problem is that our hearts are not always filled with good things to offer to God. They're filled with things like greed and fear and shame and hatred even. Things that distort our prayers or, worse, prevent us from praying altogether. And so we need to learn to pray. Not because we have to pray the right way, as if there are some techniques that need to be perfectly polished and just awesome so that we can get through to God. Not at all. But we need to learn to pray because prayer reflects our relationship with God. And we have to nurture that relationship, cultivate that relationship, learn what it is to be with God. We learn to pray because while prayer, as Henry Nouwen observes, while prayer takes serious effort, it's also a gift. I mean, Paul says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit translates even our groans into prayers. That's a gift. Paul later on to Timothy says, Jesus mediates between God and us so that God can hear our prayers. Jesus mediates between God and us. That's a gift. So teach us to pray may well be the most important part of prayer. And that's why you need to foster prayer as a discipline in your life. Well, so what are some of the elements of learning to pray? Well, I think given this passage, Jesus seems to indicate that there are probably more, but at least three elements to learning to pray. Because nowhere else, and here's the curious thing, nowhere else do the disciples ask to be taught something. They don't say to Jesus, teach us to preach. They don't say, teach us to heal or teach us to be great defenders of the faith. They don't say, Lord, teach us to counsel like you seem to be able to do so fantastically. No. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. And maybe it's because it's not about what we do in terms of the technique of prayer, but rather, who are we becoming in the discipline of prayer? Who are we becoming? And here's what I'd like to suggest, that this passage in Luke 11 lays that out in three ways. That In learning to pray, we are being more and more filled with gratitude. That in the second place, in learning to pray, we are being more and more inspired to hope in God. And in learning to pray, in the third place, we strengthen our daily trust in God alone. And I think these are important things to recognize in terms of who we are and who we are becoming. I guess especially in this particular time that we find ourselves. To live out of greater thankfulness instead of out of greater fear. And to not just survive, but to thrive with great hope. And to persevere in deep trust. Learning to pray can teach us those things in the discipline of prayer. So let me say a word about nurturing gratitude. Jesus begins with what is known as the Lord's Prayer. May be familiar to you. And perhaps even because of that familiarity, we miss out on how wonderful Jesus introduces this prayer to us. He says, when you pray, say, Father, which is a term rarely used in the Old Testament in reference to God. And in the New Testament, Jesus uses it to relate to his Father in heaven. But here, he invites us to address God with that wonderfully intimate term. Father. Our Father. And so, just by way of introduction, Jesus is already teaching us that prayer is about that relationship between God and us. It's not about the effectiveness of our prayers. It's not about the technique of our prayers. It's not about the way our prayers sound and how good they are. It's about growing in relationship with our Father. And then the rest of the prayer, we might view in terms of being divided between two parts, essentially. That the first part of the prayer, Jesus is talking about God's project. So, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. It's God's mission in this world. Structure your prayers around focusing on God's purposes in this world. What in this particular time that we find ourselves in is God up to? He's seeking a relationship with us and forcing us to put all else aside, perhaps. And then in the second place, Jesus teaches us to structure our prayers around our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Our needs, God's projects and his mission in the world, and our needs. If we learn to pray in that way, centering on God's project and our basic needs, then our thankfulness would grow and increase. The problem is, in our prayers, we too often simply focus on our needs, or we simply focus on our own anxiousness, or on our own selfishness, and we forget to structure our prayers around God's mission, and then address him in terms of our needs. With gratitude, we can find our way to God. Learn to pray so that it inspires gratitude in your heart, so that you can find your way to God. That is the purpose of prayer, to find your way to God. Why do we need to pray, says one of the church's confessions, the Heidelberg Catechism? Because, it says, prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. In other words, without prayer, you're not going to grow in gratitude. And in fact, you're not even going to be able then to receive the grace that God extends to us in thankfulness. Establishing a great thankfulness enters into your life as you learn to pray. But a second element is that it also, learning to pray also inspires hope. In this passage, it's almost as if Jesus cuts in on himself in the middle of the prayer, or so it seems to us, with a parable. And we know that Jesus loved to teach in parables. So here's the essence of the story. A man has guests over, but he has no food. And it's the middle of the night. So he goes to his neighbor to ask for food, but it's the middle of the night. And then the key point that Jesus makes is that even if that neighbor doesn't help the man as a friend, he's gonna help him because he simply wants to keep his name intact. He wants to keep his reputation in the broader community. And so he's forced to help this man who has no food. In other words, what Jesus is teaching us, at least in part, is that prayer is not about begging God for the things that we need or even want. This is about who God is. And this is about what we can expect from God. This is about an enduring hope that we have that inspires us to pray, knowing that we can constantly go to God, not just because He's a great provider, but because He's our Father. Because God is indeed our friend, and because He wants to keep His name intact, that He's going to answer our prayers. In other words, God isn't, He's not some distant deity, and He's not a tyrant. He's our everlasting hope. You can always go to God. You don't have to be begging to Him. I think there's a subtle reference back to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, in fact, here, where Jesus talks about, in His parable, about this man who's going to help out his neighbor simply because he wants to keep his reputation. In other words, he wants to keep his good name. He wants to honor his own name. The parallel, of course, is at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." We want to honor God's name in the same way that God wants His name honored and does everything to keep His name honorable. So I think this is one of the perhaps more profound things that we are learning, and perhaps learning in prayer, that in the midst of this virus scare, God really is our only hope. And we draw on Him for life, for everything. We depend on Him for health. We go to Him when all else is taken away. It's been easy to hope in all kinds of things previous to the pandemic, because we have all things. And when the ability to do whatever we want is taken away, suddenly we start reevaluating what we hope in. That's called learning to pray. The Lord is teaching us to pray, and it inspires hope in us. Now a word about the third thing, strengthening our trust. And here's where I think we need to change our prayers somewhat. For instance, it's easy for us to quickly pray to God to take away this virus. And so we nonchalantly pray for God to give us back our normal life, because that's what we would expect, because we're so used to having everything. But what if learning to pray isn't about getting back all the things that we're missing right now? See, we're so used to ordering God around, and then we quickly add, in Jesus' name, of course. But essentially, it amounts to ordering God around, making demands of God when we have no right to make a demand of God. And then our prayers actually seem to merely reveal the things that we really trust in, because we want God to give them back so badly to us. Maybe that sounds too harsh in a time like this, but if we're serious about learning to pray, we'll have to get serious about what we trust in and stop treating God like a magician that can supply us with whatever our sweethearts desire. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous theologian of during the Second World War, says that if we never have to deny ourselves anything, we're going to find it hard to pray cheerfully or even to devote our life to Christ's service. I think that's something we need to listen to these days. He who gave himself up for us, Christ himself, our Lord, gave his life for us. And if we're unwilling to deny ourselves anything, we're not going to be able to learn to pray, certainly not to pray cheerfully, perhaps desperately. But that's not what God intends. When Jesus says, ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find, he's not talking about God being a blank check for us. He's teaching his disciples how to pray to strengthen their trust in God and in God alone. He's teaching his disciples to pray, and when they do, in all sincerity, asking, seeking, knocking, God will give them something of himself. Jesus says as much. If you then, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give, not all of the things you ask for, but how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him? He's going to give something of himself to you. Prayer isn't about getting things from God. Certainly, that's not the whole of prayer, at least. But it's about getting something of God into ourselves. That's what gaining gratitude is all about. That's what hoping in God is all about. That's what trusting in God is all about. Gaining something of God himself into our lives. Haddon Robinson, well-known preacher who's since passed away, explains that we often view prayer as preparation for the battle ahead. And we do, don't we? We think, oh, you know what? I've got a tough week ahead, so I better hunker down and pray now that God will help me when I get through it. But Haddon Robinson makes this interesting observation. Remember that Jesus shed great drops of blood? When was that? It wasn't when he was arrested. It wasn't when he was in front of Pontius Pilate being tried unjustly. It wasn't even when he was on Golgotha. It was when he was in Gethsemane praying. And so Haddon Robinson says, the thing to notice here is that prayer is the battle. Prayer is the battle. And then everything that occurs after that is actually the victory. Another way to put it might be like this. When my girls were small, I would sometimes hold a treat in my hand and then close my fist. And then, of course, the game began. And they would try to pry open my fingers. And once they got one open, and then I would clench my fist even tighter, and they would struggle, but finally get another finger open, and yet another. And then finally they would be able to open my hand and grab the treat, and then they would jump off my lap and run off with their treat, laughing in all delight. It's just a kid's game, of course. But sometimes we treat prayer exactly like that kid's game. We jump into God's lap, and we come to him for treats in his hand. And we say, Lord, I need a passing grade. Help me to study. Lord, I need a job. Help me to get a job. Lord, my mother is ill. Please heal her. Lord, I need groceries. Lord, I need somebody to like me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And it's all about the treat. And it's all about what we're reaching for. And then when God grants the treat, we jump off his lap and we run off, oblivious to the outstretched hand of the Father. See, prayer is about abiding in the hand of God, nurturing gratitude, strengthening our hope in him, and deepening our trust in God alone. That's much more than praying just for the sake of what God can give us. And so we pray, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for the gift of prayer. Teach us to pray, especially in this time, Father, when we're filled with so much fear and anxiety. We're scared, God, and we're frustrated. Help us to quiet our hearts long enough to sit with you and to let you teach us to pray. So that we can hold on to the hand of our Father in heaven and know that he will always be with us, that he will always provide for us, that he will always sustain us, that he will always keep us safe, and that he will always save us into abundant life. Lord, in this season of Lent, that is what we are looking to. That is our focus. As we journey with you, Lord Jesus, in that road of suffering, help us in prayer to seek your face and to place our trust in God alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to send you out into this new week, which may not bring a whole lot new, but go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord, may He give you strength to endure. May He give you peace to thrive. May He give you that hope to grab a hold of life, even in these circumstances, and to live it for Him. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever pray. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. Have a great week.